Well, good morning once again. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord. What an awesome, wonderful, loving God you are. Lord, we pray that you'd visit your people this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would send your presence. Send your precious spirit. Send your love. Send forth your word, which will not return void. Speak to us, Lord. Open up heaven for us. Touch our hearts. Change our lives. We need you, Lord. We need you. Who do we have but you? Who else do we need but you? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So whose battle is it? The Lord's. You said that like you believe it. I know you do. I think we all do, don't we? The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle. Psalm 46:10 was our opening scripture. We're not going to spend much time there. We're actually going to be in, most of the time, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Psalm 46:10, I'm going to focus on one line in that, and we just sang it. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know, in my notes when I typed this up, I capitalized the I am part of it. Did I have a right to do that? It's not like that in Psalm 46:10. But yet, it is true, isn't it? I am. That's his name. I am. What does it mean? It means I am everything I need to be and everything you need me to be. I am. The all-sufficient one. Sufficient for himself, sufficient for us. Does he meet all our needs? Does he take care of his children? Does he protect us? Yes, he does. It says, be still. Cease striving. Fret not. Stop complaining. Quit whining. Wait on him. Trust him. Look to him. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We trust in him. Why? Because we know him. We know that he's God. Noah doesn't just have, doesn't mean to have an awareness of him. To acknowledge his presence, to know him, is an experiential knowledge. That means we don't just, we experience him. He's a God that we do experience. Someone said a man with an argument is never at the mercy of a man with an experience. Since we've had those experiences, since we have that type of knowledge from God, then we're not going to fall victim to anybody's argument, are we? Because we know our God. So what gets in the way of him helping us? We do. That's pride. It's one of the seven deadly sins. You know what the seven deadly sins are? Let's see if you remember. I've shared this before. There's anger, there's sloth, pride, vanity, greed, gluttony, and envy. You know how I remember those? They're all on Gilligan's Island. Every one of them. Every one of them. Pride. Here's what God says about pride and the battle. God does not want you fighting your battles by yourself. If you don't remember anything else about this sermon, remember that. God does not want you fighting your battles by yourself. What kind of battles are we fighting? Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Rejoice, you heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. You know, you can interpret that many different ways, but one of the ways that I thought of this morning, we rejoice because we're heavenly minded. Our residence is not of this world. Our residence is in heaven. But woe to the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, those that are earthly minded. Tells us what our thinking should be, doesn't it? Especially when the devil does, especially when the devil does come at us. And it seems like he's stepping up his activity quite a bit, isn't he? You know, there might be another 200-300 years before the Lord comes back. I'm counting the days personally, but that's, I believe in being ready no matter what. But we know that the world's deteriorating. We know. I remember the 50s. I grew up in the 50s. When I was 10 years old, I was selling newspapers on a street corner in Los Angeles at night. My parents didn't have a problem with that. Why? Because it was a different world. We can't do that now, can we? Psalm 60, verse 12, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Psalm 108:13, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. It's in there twice. What does it mean when something's repeated in the Bible? It means pay attention. You should always pay attention no matter what it is, but God thinks it's important. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He goes before us. In Isaiah 52:12, it says, he goes before us and he brings up our rear guard. He's got us surrounded with his presence, with his protection. In Exodus chapter 14, we see the children of Israel had a little encounter, had an experience with God, and some Egyptians that were chasing after them. They had reached a point or a place where the only thing in front of them was the sea. The only thing behind them were all the Egyptians in the world that were riding down on top of them. Do you ever feel like that? That you got all the Egyptians of the world riding down on top of you and you have no place to go? That's the way they were. And guess what the people did? They started complaining. But Moses, he believed God was going to do something. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Fear not. Why shouldn't we fear? It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to fear, does it? Why shouldn't we fear? 365 times in the Bible it tells us, fear not. That's once for every day of the year. I don't know what they do on leap year. I guess that kind of carries over. 365 times. Why shouldn't we fear? Because I believe when we fear, we open up the door to the enemy. Job said in 325 that the thing that I feared would happen has happened. Why did it happen? I think it happened because he feared it would happen. Do we give the enemy authority when we fear? I think we do. Fear not. Stand still. Our opening scripture was, be still and know that I am God. In other words, fret not. Cease striving. Cease complaining. Trust in God. Wait on him. He has the answer. And see the salvation of the Lord. I think we're supposed to believe it so much that we actually see it in our mind. We see it with our faith. We know God's going to do something. So we envision it. As I said, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's see, I'm going to read the first part of it. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. This is the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. What do we do when we're having trouble? We seek the Lord. We seek his help. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell therein, and have built there a sanctuary wherein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in thy house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us, to come to us out of thy possession, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They had three nations, the armies of three nations coming at them. What do you do? I want you to pay real close attention to this prayer. You'll learn something important. Verse 6. He said, are you not God? Don't take what Jehoshaphat is saying the wrong way. He's not questioning God. He's not doubting God. He's not even reminding God of who he is. If anything, he's reminding himself. He's strengthening his faith. So he's speaking words out to build up his faith. Are you not God? He knows the answers to his question, and he's not trying to remind God of anything. I already said that, okay. Do you not rule the heavens? Do you not rule the earth? Isn't there power and might in your hand? Isn't there no one that can withstand you? What's he doing? Jehoshaphat is appealing to God's power and his authority. We need to remember that when we pray. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Verse 7, are you not our God? Did you not give this land to our father, your friend, Abraham, and his seed forever? He's appealing to God based on covenant promises. He had a covenant with the children of Israel. Does he have a covenant with us? Yes, he does. It's sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 8 and 9. Talking about his people. And they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. He's appealing to God based on their history and relationship with him. He's also basing it on God's name, the honor of God's name. Verse 10, he talks about the people that are attacking. Ammon, Moab, and Seir. Mount Seir. Who are those people? They weren't allowed to invade it. God said, no, they're family. Don't invade them. Leave them alone. Ammon and Moab were sons of Lot. Mount Seir, that's Edom. That's Esau. Their family. So he's appealing to God based on past obedience. You told us not to invade them. And we didn't. And here they are. Look what they're doing. Verse 11, he's appealing to God based on Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir's rejection of the family ties. They're family, but that doesn't mean anything to them. They choose to be our enemies. Verse 12, our God, wilt thou not judge them? You know, there's a divine court that we can petition. It's God's courtroom. David did this. He had Saul chasing him. He was hiding in caves, and he had two opportunities to kill David. One time he confronted Saul, and he chose not to kill him. And he said, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. Jehoshaphat's appealing to God's righteous judgment. What else does Jehoshaphat say in verse 12? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. He's appealing to God's mercy, God's mercies, because there's many mercies involved. Lamentations, it says God's mercies are new every morning. Mercies, plural. We need healing mercies. We need traveling mercies. We need protection mercies. We need a lot of different types of mercy, and God's got it all covered. Speaking of David, everybody's familiar with the story from 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath. That's one of the first stories I think we learn as children. One of the things that impresses me is David knew he was going to win. He knew he was going to win because he knew God was going to win. He knew that God was with him. There, everybody know the story? This very large person named Goliath, this Philistine, goes out and he challenges, send out anybody. I'll fight anybody. You know, he's 10 feet tall. So David shows up. Goliath didn't like that. He was insulted. This kid? That's all you got? Am I a dog that you throw sticks at? First Samuel 17:45-47, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David knew he was going to win. I can't pass this up. So we're going to compare verse 44 with 45. Goliath said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, and I will give the carcasses of the host of Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in heaven and there's a God in Israel. He said he was going to feed David's body to the animals and the birds. David said, I'm going to feed your whole army's bodies to the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. I think that's called chutzpah. It's a Jewish word, but that's okay. He knew who his God was. Daniel 11:32 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Well, that was David. Why can't it be us? We face giants too, don't we? How can it be us? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And remember, who's the battle belong to? The Lord. Psalm 60, verse 12, and 108, verse 13. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 20, verses 14 through 17. This is after Jehoshaphat prayed. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Maltaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor be dismayed of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jurel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Does that sound familiar? That's what Moses told the people. That's what God had Moses tell the people. So we see it again. Set yourselves. Position yourselves. Where do we set ourselves when we face our battles? We set ourselves, position ourselves in Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We stand still and we see the salvation of the Lord. Verses 20 through 24. And they rose early in the morning. I love that. Every time I come across that phrase or that sentence, they rose early in the morning, I underline it. When does God want us to do something? He doesn't want us to wait till the end of the day after we've had our naps and after we've eaten. No, do it now. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." What? We see this in John Wayne movies all the time, don't we? Okay, the army's going to go fight this battle. Let's put the musicians and the singers in front. Brilliant military strategy. But yet that's what we do here, isn't it? We have our worship before the sermon. The worship's a very important part of the battle. And we should carry it with us wherever we go. You're having trouble? Start praising God. I heard of a man that was having all kinds of problems. And in the midst of his problems, he was told that he was going to have cancer. Or that he had cancer, he was going to die. He had only a short time to live. So he started praising God. His cancer was healed. Can God do that? Yeah. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They started killing each other off. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Confusion in the enemy's camp. They were so confused by the praise and the singing and the worshiping of God that they killed each other off. That's what the enemy does. Praise God. It's one of the most important part of the battle that we can do. Let God work. Praise Him. Call on His name. Seek Him. And see the salvation of the Lord. Lord, as we fight our battles, we trust, we know that you're there with us. And we pray, Lord, for your protection. We pray, Lord, for your victory. We pray, Lord, for your strength. Yes, sometimes we may have to take part and participate in the battle. It isn't always just standing still. But yet, even in that, we still remain quiet and quietly trust in you. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, because I believe there's someone that needed to hear it. And I think there was someone besides me that needed to hear it. Lord, bless your people this morning. The world's getting darker, Lord. Help our light to shine brighter. Help us to be strong and stand firm for you. Help us, Lord, not to give in to what the enemy would have us do. Help us, Lord, to seek you in time of trouble and to know that you are a God that possesses the victory, that your people will do valiantly because the battle belongs to you. Lord, go with us today. Watch over us, please. Guide us, direct us. And Lord, I pray that you bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. That concludes our service.